welcoming you to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. This program was spurred by an email that I got from a listener who suggested this topic, and so we're going to do it for the next 2 hours. Stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Last week on the Saturday Special, the phone lines were melting as diversity and homosexuals were the topic du jour. The question was posed by a listener, do homosexuals have an agenda? Well, do they? Join us this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to noon with your host MZ and a famous gay rights activist as we decide, if there is a gay agenda, what is it? That's this Saturday on the Saturday Special with MZ on your Gender Bender radio station, AM 1080 KSCO.
All right, since that promo was made, I have been corrected. It's not a famous gay rights activist. It's a famous person, not a gay rights activist, though. I want to welcome our special guest to the KSCO Saturday Special. Now, let me see if we can bring him up here. Okay, special guest, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, all right. Your name is Carell.
It is. Isn't that something?
Yeah. and you are famous.
Or infamous, I'm not sure which.
Okay. You are an author.
I have to get a microphone down now. I look sort of stupid.
Yeah, I guess. Wait a minute. Keep it on.
Okay,
it is on, and I've got you turned up here.
Turn me up, baby.
Wait a minute, more.
Well, more.
Oh, look at that. He's there.
Look at that. There I am.
I just have to turn you up more. Okay.
Turn me up. It's Saturday morning, for God's sakes.
So he was there all along, and we didn't even know it.
Quite a little peppy theme song you've got going there, by the way.
Well, you know what it is, Carell, is...
We've got tunes, we've got music, we've got...
The radio station used to have these jingles that were produced in the 40s and 50s, and we dug them out of the basement and started using them.
You know what, some things are better left buried, like Strom Thurmond, but we'll go on.
All right, now look, you are a talk host on KGO, the radio station to the north of us here in San Francisco. Great radio station, just not as great as us.
Oh, of course. Okay.
All right? Okay. And you have a long history in radio. There's a big station called KFI in Los Angeles, yeah. AM 640.
Mm-hmm.
And you used to do a program with your partner.
Yes, Andrew and I were actually the first gay couple in history to have a drive-time radio show on a major market radio station. And that happened when David Hall, in his infinite wisdom, replaced John and Ken, who we, you know, twice as gay as the former, and with us. And so we came in and didn't know what to expect. Following Dr. Laura and Rush Limbaugh. We're really naive about the whole thing, but just had a great time and continued to have a great time for years.
Now, is it possible for you to turn your volume up just a little bit?
Funny, of course.
We've got it cranked up all we can go here. But
here you go. How about that?
Oh, that's way better.
Oh, I know.
Okay, good. So I got this email after last week's program here. Let me just sort of give you a little bit of a background. We're an independently owned and operated talk radio station.
Mm-hmm.
We serve the Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz market, and our signal is so strong that it spills over into the San Francisco Bay Area.
My turf.
Right. You can't hear us from north of Sacramento to south of Bakersfield in the daytime. there's some things going on in this town that, you know, we comment on and have talk shows on and so forth. And
right.
There is a board of trustees meeting for the Scotts Valley Unified School District coming up this Monday. We're going to be broadcasting this program live.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that there are a number of parents of students at that school who are quite upset that there seems to be what is called a gay agenda.
Is it being set by SquarePants, Bob, you know, SpongeBob? Is he the one doing the gay agenda these days?
I don't know, but whatever it is, it's bothering people. And we had a nice discussion last week on this program about the difference between tolerance, rather. Tolerance versus indoctrination. And tolerance is okay. You know, the consensus was that tolerance is okay, but indoctrination isn't in the public schools.
Well,
what do you think about that?
I think it's a bunch of bull, is what I think about that. Who gets to make that line, tolerance, you know, and tolerance. You know what? I'm not something to be tolerated. Mexican food at dinner that's a little off is something to be tolerated.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not something to be tolerated, nor is any other gay or lesbian or African American or Asian or white person or heterosexual. It's not something to be tolerated. That's such a terrible term. I'll tolerate you. I won't like you. I won't help you in any way. I'll just tolerate you. That's ridiculous. You tolerate things you don't like. And you know what? When are we going to get past that as a people? I don't understand. It's bizarre to me that we would come to a point in our history where we would accept, I don't know, sort of a benign malevolence against people and say that's tolerance. The president doesn't tolerate gay people. The president hates gay people. I'm sick of him running around saying we should be compassionate to our gay and lesbian brothers, but we should instill a constitutional amendment to deny them the same rights that my brother had, who is now in divorce court because two Vietnamese hookers show up at his door. You know, I mean, it's completely ridiculous to me that they would say that they are a tolerant party and a tolerant administration when they want to legislate against a tax-paying group of Americans. It's amazing to me.
All right. Well, what spurred us calling you is this email that said, wouldn't it be great if you had Carell and Michael Savage on the Saturday special?
he's a piece of work, Michael. Is.
Yeah. and the word went out to Michael Savage. I don't think we even got the dignity of a response.
Yeah,
but,
well.
But it was very nice that you called, that you said, sure, hey, why not?
Well, why not? I mean, the only part of the reason I do my radio show, believe me, it's not for the fortunes, is because if you don't open a dialogue about things, and you don't show people, for instance, the whole concept of a gay agenda. I remember when we first started at – I remember. It's like the president now. I remember because I'm American.
Uh-huh.
I remember when we started at KFI, CNBC asked us, what is the gay agenda? And I said, I don't know. I thought it was like go to the gym, pick up something for dinner, decide the wallpaper. I mean, you know, who knows what the gay agenda is? There's no – to assume there's a gay agenda would be to assume that gays and lesbians can unite and – form a consensus on anything. And unity inside the gay community is a myth. It doesn't exist. There is no single voice for the gay community, just as there's no single voice for the straight community. There's no one voice for the liberal community. There's no one voice for the right wing. There are many voices. So to say that there's, quote, an agenda is giving us far too much credit. It means that we sit around somewhere and come up with goals. And when I talk to most gay and lesbian people, their agenda isn't a gay one. Their agenda is an American one. And so the gay agenda, to me, is really the American agenda. And the American agenda is equality, that you do not legislate against groups of people because you don't like them or because some 2,000-year-old book of fables says that it's wrong. It's equality under the law. You don't create inequalities under the law based on the fact that you don't like a particular group. You know, that's not a gay agenda. That's an American agenda.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, listen, you can go ahead and hang up your POTS phone, your regular phone, but keep the ISDN open.
POT? Have you been talking to Bill Maher? Oh, no, sorry.
but I wouldn't mind if you cranked up your volume on the ISDN so that we're getting it a little more. And now,
okay.
Now that opens up our phone thing. Already we're starting to get calls. We haven't even invited it. By the way, if you want to call 479-1080, or 477-1340 in area 831. We'll connect you to the Saturday special where we're talking today about the gay agenda and what it is. Let's take our first caller, Maxwell on Highway 101 in San Jose. Maxwell, you are Maxwell, you are on the air here. And where is Carell?
I'm right.
Oh,
here.
You're right. Oh, okay.
I ain't gone anywhere.
Good. Okay, good. I forgot that you're on.
Try to get rid of me as they may. I'm still here.
Okay, there. Maxwell, are you there? Maxwell.
Remember that artist, Maxwell? I always feel.
Can you hear me now?
Okay.
We can hear you now.
Good. You're on.
Fantastic. Picking you up loud and clear here in San Jose there, MZ.
Good. Okay, you're on with the Carell and his orchestra.
Yes, glad to be there. Listen, he's trying to deny there is a gay agenda, but I think he's already mentioned a couple of them. Number one, to try and equate homosexual behavior with ethnicity. There's absolutely no correlation. Number two,
that the
heterosexual population actually gives a dang. I don't give a damn about anybody's sexual orientation any more than I give a damn about cross dressers or guys that like nylon.
Great, then
I mean,
stop voting against it in the points mood.
Can you hear him talk?
It.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute, Maxwell. I want to make sure everybody can hear everybody. You can hear me, right?
Yes, sir.
Carell, say something to Maxwell.
Maxwell, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great.
Now, are you hearing him over the radio or are you hearing him through your cell phone?
No, I got him on the phone, radio off.
Okay, good, good. I was worried because there was a delay there for a second. And
Maxwell
is
a good radio caller. He knows to turn down his radio.
Okay, good.
I do.
All right. All right, now that we can all hear each other. So are you finished with your comment to Corral, or did I interrupt you?
I comment, but I'm just getting started. Go ahead.
Okay, well, why don't
you... Well, Maxwell, you can finish tonight on my show at 7 o'clock, so just call me back on schedule. You know, the thing about what he says about A, equating it to ethnicity, first of all, that is an old argument, and it's one that grows so weary. We equate it to ethnicity because the only people who have had civil rights movements in this country have been ethnicities. So the only pattern which we can draw a movement upon are the movements of African Americans, Jewish Americans, Latin Americans, because those are the only ones who have fought for civil rights outside of women in this country. And so we are not likening being gay to being black, except you can't help that you're born black and you can't help that you're born gay. So outside of those two similarities, however, we can liken our movement to that because it's the exact same movement. It is a civil rights movement. But he brings up a better point, one which I happen to agree with. I think that President Bush and the neocons and the right-wing conservative Christians, who are only a small minority and when it comes to the right, these ultra-right-wing, evangelical, certifiably insane nuts, they seem to think that middle America really cares about who's getting married. And quite frankly, middle America cares about their jobs. They now care about Social Security, that the president seems hell-bent on destroying it. They care about schools, education. They care about the same things I care about. I pay more property taxes than most of middle America. A lot of that go to schools that my kids will never use because I don't have any. Do I balk about that? No, because I know to have a strong America, you must have an educated youth. So I think America does not care about same-sex marriage or about gay or lesbian rights, except when someone tries to shove it down their throat. The only reason that we have to shove it down their throats, please pardon the pun, is when someone tries to take something away and or legislate against. Believe me, we all have better things to do than stand around and fight for the right to get married. It's not high on my list of things to do today. We all have better things to do than stand around and worry about hate crime legislation. We all have better things to do in the gay community. It's not like we want to be in this battle.
Hey, you and I were talking about that off the air, when I was driving and talking with you.
Yes.
And you let me know in no uncertain terms that a lot of your gay brethren don't like you for saying
yes.
things like that.
Right. Well, my book is called You Can't Say That for that very reason, because I write a column at advocate.com. And that column often, it's also in a couple of print publications, more than a couple, but it's out there in the print publications. And that column often says things that people don't want to hear. They don't want to hear that I think gay and lesbians are fighting the wrong battle, that we do not need to fight the battle for same-sex marriage because we're never going to get same-sex marriage in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. The word marriage is too tied to Christianity. Marriage is a failing institution anyway. 50% end in divorce and abused wives and, kids growing up in single-family homes, all kinds of stuff. I mean, marriage isn't exactly in a great state. And gays and lesbians had nothing to do with that because we can't participate. So I truly
a lot of people would be happy if gay and lesbian people could have a domestic partnership.
Yes, I fully believe in federal domestic partnerships. Federal level. All the same benefits of marriage, all the 3,000 plus legislative benefits of marriage, simply on a federal level.
Uh-huh.
And called domestic partnerships.
You speak in very broad terms, Corral, as I know you know. But to paint all evangelical Christians as insane, don't you think that that is an intolerant statement on its face?
Not at all. Anyone that believes that the end of the world is coming in our lifetime is certifiably insane. Paul, who helped write the Bible, believed that Christ was coming before he died. Guess what? He was wrong. The ideology and the whole theology has been based on 2,000 years of being wrong. And just this last week on Larry King Live, when they had five of the top evangelicals in the country because of Time Magazine's 25 Top Evangelical issue, and every single one of them sat there and said, "We are in the end times." If you ask me, that is a mental disorder. That is dissociative disorder verging on bipolar or schizophrenia. The only way that we are in the end times is if George Bush is allowed to continue his crusade in the Middle East to prepare the way for Christ and nukes the whole place. And that's the only way. If we bring about the end times, that's one thing. But trust me, God's not coming back, and there's no trumpeters coming back in the next 40 or 50 years. Ain't going
to
happen.
Well, I'm awfully glad to hear that you have an inside track on what God is doing.
I'll bet you my life on it.
My next question would be, that why in the world would you call marriage a Christian term? If you look it up in Webster's, it simply says the union of a man and a woman.
I call it a Christian term because that's what it's become to mean. Webster's has no bearing on what this country deems. You know, the definition of a word changes often, and I will tell you, I know what marriage is.
Not
marriage is
fundamental.
You know, marriage is outside of the church. Marriage has always been outside of the church. The church, you know, the church had nothing to do with marriage until, and then love had nothing to do with marriage actually until I think it was the 16th, 17th century. So you're right on the basis of what the term marriage truly means. And on the basis of what marriage truly is, you make the argument that gays and lesbians should be allowed to enter into it because it is not a Christian organization.
I'm not making a statement one way or another. I'm just saying that the very definition is a union between a man and a woman as the foundation of the family.
First of
you
all,
you're
saying that Bob Dole should have to get divorced because he's impotent and can't reproduce. You're saying any couple that's infertile should not be able to get married. Right?
Spiritual union. It's irrelevant what the sex is.
So you're saying that a man and a man and a woman and a woman can't have a spiritual union?
I'm sorry, Pete, I couldn't hear you.
You're saying a man and a man and a woman and a woman can't have a spiritual union. That's what you're saying.
I did not say that.
Well, then, your argument's moot. Marriage is not about reproduction. If it were, infertile couples would not be able to get married. Period. End. That's just the way it is. So don't give me that it's the basis of the family, because guess what? I grew up in a family, child. You know, and most gays and lesbians grew up in a heterosexual family. And what do you know? Here we are, gay. And our families are just fine. Many gays and lesbians are raising children. And sociologists and studies have proven that those children are no more apt to be gay and are no way scarred by the experience than any other. In fact, they're healthier when raised by two parents, whether it's same gender or not, than they are when they're a product of a broken home. So science actually repudiates every argument against gay marriage. Contract law actually repudiates every argument against gay marriage. And the right knows this. They know that if pressed in the courts, and if the courts actually deal with law instead of political rhetoric, they would have to deem same-sex marriage legal. The Supreme Court...
Even with that name? Even with the word
absolutely.
Marriage?
Absolutely.
Because I know a lot of people wouldn't mind if all the rights were extended, if they just call it something else.
Right, and I'm one of those people, by the way. I am one of those people. I am for federal domestic partnership. But the right is scared because they know that if a court, a dispassionate court, who has to deal with just matters of law, sits down and interprets the Constitution, they will say that it is gender bias. It is strict bias. You are segregating a group of people and telling them they can't enter into this contract because they are of the same gender. They are going to be denied the same benefits someone of opposite gender can enjoy. And when they sit down and look at that legally, just as they did in Massachusetts, just as they did in New York this week in the city, not in the state, I believe. I think I have to check that. But just as they did in New York, they sit down and they say, look, we're sorry. There is no compelling argument, legal argument, against it. Now, that doesn't mean that it's a battle I feel we should fight. I think Gavin Newsom was wrong in what he did. I think that...
Really?
Yes. Oh, yes. And I've told...
Well, that the people in San Francisco must hate your guts.
Oh, I think
you're not... Maybe that's why you live in L.A., huh?
I think he was very wrong. I think he put it on the agenda at a time it didn't need to, and he helped cost John Kerry the election, although John Kerry did everything he could to lose the election. I think that the same-sex marriage issue did not help the Democratic Party in this election, and partly because of Gavin Newsom. You know, there was another way to approach that, and it didn't need to be approached in an election year. And you know what, Gavin? Worry about your own marriage as you file for divorce, okay?
Carell, you be nice here.
I was being nice. That man could have cost us the election and has set gay rights back further. Shortly after what he did, 11 states voted to amend their constitution to ban same-sex marriage. They would not have done that if Gavin had not created this ruckus in San Francisco during an election year. They simply wouldn't have done it. It wouldn't have been on their radar. But he helped put it on their radar and set us back in 11 states instead of moving us forward.
All right, let's go to our next caller. That would be Al in Watsonville. By the way, we have open lines at 479-1080 or 477-1340. Don't be afraid, ladies and gentlemen. We know you're listening. Call in. Al, you're on.
I'm not afraid. I've been hung up many times by Carell.
Have you? How much fun.
Hey, listen, when you talk about your particular perspective on your feelings and emotions, you're dealing with a spiritual union, which falls into religion, which that is exactly what you are.
No, it doesn't.
A religionist person. You go against truth and facts and for your own belief system.
What truth?
I have a book that proves truth.
Which truth is that?
The good book?
The good book was written by men who had never met Christ. It was written as a form of government over 2,000 years ago, and it's a bunch of outdated but cute stories. So please don't cite some... I'll start citing Greek mythology, if you like. It's just as pertinent.
Great. I will quote Greek books. One written by physiologists, one written by anatomists, and the other one is biology.
Okay.
And I can quote three
on the other side that will countermand you. What does that have to do with the price of tea in Hong Kong?
Tolerance and teaching the truth in schools.
What truth?
Sexuality?
Who are you to be the arbiter of truth? The truth is that gay people exist. The truth is they've always existed. The truth is they are always going to exist. The truth is that some of your children are gay. The truth is that your brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and uncles and aunts are in fact gay.
No.
They're here. That's
no.
the truth.
No.
Yes.
That's a label you're applying to the act. You're trying to label
That's the
something.
Label that society, for political purpose, has applied to the act.
No, your community applied that label.
No. I'm sorry.
What is the sex act? What is the sex act called?
Which sex act?
Homosexuality.
Fun if you do it right.
That is still not. It's still not physiologically acceptable. Anatomically,
maybe not to
not
your
acceptable.
Maybe you're doing it wrong.
Biologically,
and by the way,
acceptable.
If you don't like the sex act, don't do it.
You're right.
If you're not in favor of same-sex marriage, don't propose to a man.
And it shouldn't be taught in our schools as fact. It goes against.
So, in other
fact.
Words, sex should not be mandatory for anybody.
I'm sorry. The word
exactly.
Sex. I'm
sex
sorry.
Is
sex
is not mandatory for anybody.
Sex is the union of the ovum and the sperm. That's not my.
No, definition. That's conception that you just described.
Yes,
sexual
conception.
Intercourse should be taught in schools.
So you only have sex to conceive a child? That's the only time you have sex?
I'm talking about the agenda.
I'm talking about you, baby. The only time that you have sex is when you conceive a child. Yes or no?
Hey, listen, I can use a soccer ball to play
yes
basketball.
Yes or no?
With.
The only time that you have sex is to conceive a child. Yes or no?
What's your point?
Hey, Al, he's pretty good, and he's not even in control of the phones today.
Thank you,
hey,
Alan.
Listen, he's pretty good at
you
spinning.
You just proved my point,
no,
Alan.
I didn't. Having fun sexually, having fun playing tennis, having fun playing basketball, anything else, like I said, you can play basketball with a soccer ball, but that doesn't make it correct. You still want to use the proper functions. To teach it in school, if you teach sexuality outside of conception, outside of coitus, you were teaching an alternative.
Coitus? I've never heard it said coitus?
You know what? You might want to check the calendar, babe. We're in 2005.
You know what?
You can take your draconian ideas of sex being only for procreation and go back to the Middle Ages, and the next time you get sick, apply some leeches. Okay?
Am I deviating from the norm if I have other than sexual intercourse and the way it's supposed to be designed by nature?
You're deviating from the norm by some religions if you would have sexual intercourse without a woman lying flat on her back with a hole cut in the sheet so you can't see her body.
I don't know what religion
you're
that
deviating
is.
From sex. You're deviating from religious history if your woman doesn't wear purple and walk three steps behind you, and you're allowed to stone her if she's unfaithful to you.
We're talking
don't
about
you quote biblical rhetoric to me, you
I
fool.
Didn't. You're the only person that's brought up the Bible to me. I talked about three books of truth.
Of truth? Whose truth?
Anatomy, physiology,
anatomy.
And biology.
Honey, let me tell you. I'll give you an anatomy lesson sometime, and let me tell you, gay sex works just fine.
Well, but it's not normal, and it's not natural.
May not be normal to you, then don't do it.
I'm not saying that it's not. I'm not saying that you can't have the right
it's
to do it.
It's perfectly normal to me.
There's an agenda to indoctrinate.
Hey, Al.
Indoctrinate.
Al.
Because we want to go out there and get marches and marches of legions of gay people.
No,
we
you
want to indoctrinate them and give them all toaster ovens and bring them into our ranks.
Now, wait a minute.
So ridiculous.
Correll, wait a second.
That is the most ridiculous indoctrination.
I haven't used any religion. I haven't used any personal opinion. I've used scientific, empirical...
Hey, what am I? I'm the host of the radio program, damn it. I mean, okay. Al, listen to me,
mm-hmm.
Okay? I I've got a question for you about...
He went biblical on me. I didn't.
Do you think that Correll is an in-your-face gay?
Yes.
Do you think you're an in-your-face gay, Correll?
Oh, I would hope I'm in your face, period, not just gay.
But he won't deal with the truth.
What is the truth? I won't deal with your truth.
No, my truth comes from books that were written thousands of years
again, by man.
Anatomy.
And how come you don't use medicine that was written thousands of years ago when you go to the hospital?
If
how
you
come
have
you don't ask them to use the treatments they used to use in ancient Rome on you?
That doesn't
have you ever gotten a CAT scan?
See, well,
that
let me talk.
Around thousands
you just
of years
badger.
Ago.
Okay, you just badger. That's all you'll do.
Okay.
Badger.
All right.
Sexual orientation.
I'd like to think we've progressed as a society and as a people. I would like to think that we can take the knowledge of the past and look at it and then conform it to what our society is today.
How are we progressing back to sexual licentiousness that doomed many cultures historically, not in my opinions? You will not deal with the fact that I am not a bigot. I'm saying that your sexual preference is your right. You can do what you want.
It's not a preference, first of all.
But when you, yes, it is. You just said,
your first misnomer.
You just told me that I could choose it or not choose it. If I don't want to do it, don't do it.
No, I never said you could choose or not choose
it.
Can you choose to be straight? Do you wake up every morning and make a conscious decision that that day you're going to have sex with a woman?
Well, if my testicles are producing sperm, I am a heterosexual.
No, if your testicles are producing sperm, all you are is a male. That has no bearing on your sexuality.
That's your,
and since you seem to be focused on anatomy, maybe you should study that.
Al.
Hey, buddy.
Al, wait a minute. Al, I think Carell's right on this.
Oh, and in what? In how?
Well, the fact that you have testicles that produce sperm does not make you gay or straight. It just makes you a male. That's all.
Yes. That's ridiculous. What we're trying to do here is talk about why people object to certain things and what is intolerant and not tolerant. To go into the schools and teach sexuality that is not based on empirical, observable facts that a sperm and an ovum are the reasons for the sexual act, and if you teach deviant behavior, deviations from the natural order of things, then that can be challenged. That's not intolerant. That's not bigotry.
And I tell
you
that
science.
My sex is in the natural order of things. Nature doesn't make mistakes.
Pardon me?
I said, and I'll repeat.
Not in the natural order of things.
Yes, it is. No
that
one.
That is your personal opinion. Because
no, it is actually based on, now it's being based on research, much like everything else. Mm-hmm. If you think
and
it's a preference or a choice, you're wrong.
And what happens to Darwin's finches if two of the male finches go off on the island and have a sexual relationship? They go extinct.
They hire a DJ. They get a party going. They get a buffet. They get, like, you know, Peter Rauhofer in there. And you
Carell,
know,
I'm trying to deal with
you. Oh, you're talking nonsense. There are gays and lesbians
You're going to throw out the science you disagree with.
I'll give you lesbian seagulls in the Santa Monica Bay. There's gay goats in Arkansas, and boy, are the men happy. There's all kinds of...
It's always licentiousness.
Gay and lesbian situations.
Every single time you...
Okay, you know what? Jeez, this is great. But
every single time he speaks, in parentheses, it has to do with a licentious... under the tone comment. And if you want to know what people don't want in the schools, is that kind of...
I don't want in the school. I don't want 17-year-old girls who are going down to planned pregnancy because they are pregnant, because no one thought to teach them about using a condom. And now are they not only worried about being pregnant, they're worried about having HPV or HIV, because someone's head was in the sand and forgot to tell them that if they are going to have sex, how to have it right.
That sounds like the way I want to have it explained.
You know,
thank you for the validation.
You know what I'm upset about? I'm upset about the largest number of suicides in this country being gay youth, because people out there like you are trying to tell them that what they are is unnatural or wrong.
Yeah, well, see,
I'm not saying a thing. I'm just telling you what it is in science.
And 10 years ago, science.
But it sounds to me like both you guys might be on the same page here. Am I wrong?
I would go. You know what? I do agree with Carell when it comes to the federal for unions. I think any adult should be able to form a union the way he's describing it. When you start saying we want a marriage, we want to be viewed as a couple for raising offspring, blah blah blah. Then you cross boundaries into proper arguments. Now I will be there. I will
proper
be there.
Proper arguments. You know, for about 50 years ago,
you just
was a proper
denigrated
argument
every Christian
that women
in the country.
Shouldn't vote. Do you know what's a proper argument? And do you know that in Alabama, legislation that actually supported segregation only lost by 2%, and this was just in the last election.
Look, you're a religious.
So if you want to talk about proper, hun, we have been far from proper. That's why the courts are there. If we were a proper, just society, there wouldn't be a need for the Supreme Court. If we were a society that respected the other rights of other individuals, there wouldn't be a need for a justice system.
You aren't respecting anybody's other rights.
I respect your right to procreate. Go procreate all you want to. Hell, I pay for some of your kids.
You just denigrated millions and millions of humans, which you then said was a very small minority, which the gay community is a meaningful fuel.
Who did I denigrate? Evangelicals who I believe are mentally ill? That's not denigration. I'd like them to get therapy. I'd like them to seek help.
Excuse me. If you don't know where your genitals are supposed to be, you're the one who needs mental health.
I know exactly where they're supposed to be. I also know where they've been.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but that's the issue here.
We're getting nowhere fast here. Al, thanks for your call this Saturday special.
Tell me it wasn't analytical, though, Mr. Host. I didn't get passionate. All I'm doing is saying
you're
why
a wonderful talk
opposed.
Show guest, Al. Thank you so much for your time.
Good caller.
Carell, you're close-minded.
Okay, Al, do you listen to us regularly?
Yes.
Okay, good. Keep listening, okay? And don't be upset that I'm going on to the next caller.
No, I'll be at Scotts Valley with...
Oh, honey, you gave him about 3 minutes longer than I would have.
See, no.
I know. I'm guilty of that. Because
Carell always hangs up on people.
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
Because I've heard their arguments before, and they're weak and feeble.
Okay.
I do hang up on people on my show, and you know why? Because come at me and say I'm a preference. I didn't wake up one day and decide that I want to be discriminated against, beaten, legislated against. I didn't wake up one day and want to watch an entire generation of my friends die. You know, that's not something that I chose. Believe me, back when I was 14 and 15 years old, if I could have changed it at that point, not knowing what I know now, I would have.
Uh-huh.
Now, of course, I wouldn't have. I would have never known the love of Andrew for 12 and a half years, only apart 5 days in that 12 years. Can any of your straight couples say that? We were married 12 years, as married as anyone could be, only apart 5 days, lived and worked together. Can any of your straight couples out there say that? I mean, look, I was...
Well, while you're talking about that, you should let people know what you let me know of. I thought that Andrew was lost to HIV, and you corrected
no,
me.
No, Andrew was not. No, no. Andrew died of what I alleged to be malpractice, which I'm still fighting in the courts. He had a blood clot block his heart. It started at about 4 o'clock in the morning, the clot, and then it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and finally at 6:17, it was so big that it blocked his heart. And the
like two and a half hours later, you mean?
Yeah, yes, while he was in the ER, and the ER did nothing, no drugs on board, not even an aspirin. And yet he had what I believe to be an abnormal EKG, et cetera, et cetera. But we haven't been able to argue the medicine in the case because for 4 years now, we've been arguing whether or not I had standing. Slept with the man every night, with him 12 years, only apart 5 days, registered domestic partners, and yet they're still arguing that I was nothing more than his friend.
Wow. So you think that if they hadn't wasted a lot of time, there's a chance that Andrew would still be living?
I fully believe that if they had initiated a thrombicide, heparin something, or even an aspirin at that point, and the coroner and the head of the USC emergency department at the time, who I hired to review the medical records, and several other forensic specialists who came to my aid, given our high profile, once he died and reviewed the case.
He's a famous person there, too.
Yes,
you guys were doing afternoon drive on KFI. Yeah.
Yes, they all rendered opinions to me that, yes, there could have been something done to at least give him a fighting chance. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, my. Okay, well, you're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special, 10:39, hour number one. We're talking about the quote-unquote gay agenda, what it is, with somebody who has a real interesting perspective, Carell, who is a talk host on KGO. He's also a writer, an author, and a speaker, I guess. You do public speeches, right?
You know, I haven't yet, but I am actually, funny you mentioned that. This last week I just had a meeting with a person who handles that.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I'm looking into doing that now.
Great, well, good be a thing. And you just, you don't know it, but you just gave a great, Dead Doctors Don't Lie story here. I'll tell you about that later here. We have a fax here to MZN guests regarding the gay agenda from Stephen Watsonville. Scott's Wednesday noon news show included the subject of SpongeBob possibly being a part of the, quote, gay agenda. I faxed him a limerick on the subject, but he thought the last line was too off-colored for the poem to be read. Maybe he was right, but I'm sending it again today in hopes you might get a chuckle from it. There once was a young sponge named Bob who was feared by the anti-gay mob, but don't slander the lad. It's a girl Brillo pad who causes Bob's square pants to throb.
Okay.
That's not so bad.
No, it's not so
okay.
bad. You know, the whole idea, I mean, Tinky Winky being gay, that was cute when Reverend Falwell said that. That was very cute. I even went out and bought a Tinky Winky doll afterwards. And, you know, square pants being, I mean, we live in such odd times when tomorrow at the Super Bowl, a Brit, the most American of all games, the Super Bowl, we have to call in a Brit, a 60-plus-year-old Brit, to do our halftime show for fear that Janet Jackson might fall out of her dress again.
Uh-huh.
On The Family Guy last week, they digitized the butt crack of the lead character in an episode they had previously shown without pixelation. Now, this is of a cartoon because they thought it was inappropriate. At PBS, they pull a show, a kid show, because there were some lesbian bunnies being talked to, and the head of, in the Bush administration, the head of public education didn't think that was a positive message. You know, what are we protecting our kids from? I don't seem to understand. We think by sanitizing everything and by going back to these draconian values and morals, which everyone attests to have in real life but doesn't put in practice in their own life, you know, I mean, come on, those who live in glass houses, you know, Newt Gingrich. I don't understand what we're protecting our kids from. I grew up with lead-based paint. My wagon had sharp edges. I'm quite sure my pajamas were flammable. I was riding on my mother's lap in the front seat of the car while my mother and father smoked feverishly with the windows up. I'm still here. You're still here. The baby boomers, who they're worried about Social Security, are huge in numbers and retiring. We made it through retirement, and we had all of these pitfalls, and heaven forbid, we had gay teachers. We had gay uncles. We had gay aunts. We had gay everything. And what do you know, in the 70s, when it was actually being accepted, when most of us were teenagers, we made it through. And we made it through unscathed. And now we're going to let the religious right and a very small percentage of society come forward and say, oh no, this is evil and you must not indoctrinate. Indoctrinate. You must not indoctrinate fairness. You must not indoctrinate equality. You must not indoctrinate compassion towards each other. You must not indoctrinate fairness under the law. I don't understand what they're afraid we're
going to do. It's indoctrinate, damn it.
Whatever. Yeah. If he can say nuclear, I can say indoctrinate.
Well, I say nuclear, too.
Well, you're wrong.
He copied it from me. All right, here's a fax from Liberty, okay? Of course there's a homosexual agenda, and I've supported it up to a point that I think it has been reached. As a longtime libertarian, I have always supported the right of individuals to engage in virtually any sexual activity as long as they don't do it in the street and scare the horses, to quote Queen Victoria. Sodomy laws have been overturned nationwide, if I'm not mistaken, and homosexuals are protected by fair housing and fair employment laws as well as hate crimes laws. However,
In 14 states, you can still be fired and or thrown out of your house for being gay.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for the correction here. However, Liberty goes on to say in his facts, it seems that simple tolerance, in quotes, is not enough. Tolerance, after all, simply means putting up with something. One needn't tolerate something one likes or agrees with.
Tolerance,
that's just what
not,
you were saying. Now,
tolerance does not mean that. According to Webster's, tolerance means showing respect for the rights or opinions or practices of others.
Corral, let me finish the facts!
Well,
okay. It says, I don't tolerate nice weather, for instance, tolerate bad weather. Chris is agreeing with me even as I write this. The gay agenda is to force full acceptance of their deviant, look it up in the dictionary, it applies, lifestyle accepted by everyone and even sanctified by the sacrament of marriage. The very reasonable fear, if Canada is any example, is churches will be forced to perform same-sex marriages.
Oh, that's bull.
And preaching against homosexuality will be banned as hate speech. And
that's bull, too.
Okay, well, isn't that already happening, or is that just not accurate? Isn't that already happening?
First of all, look up tolerant in the dictionary, Mr. C. Deviant. Tolerant means showing respect for the rights or opinions or practices of others. Showing respect for. Not putting up with, but showing respect for.
Uh-huh.
And then you can look up respect if you like. And as for, no one wants to tell the churches how to preach. If you want to be in a Turner Burn church, be in a Turner Burn church. If you want to stone your wife because she cheats on you, you know, I have a book right here in front of me of the children's, it's the Children's Illustrated Bible. Available at Amazon.com. Quite a find, I'll tell you. And in the Children's Illustrated Bible, it says that Joseph, instead of stoning his wife, which was his privilege, decided to forgive her and go with the story that it was an immaculate conception. So instead of dragging her out to be stoned, you know, we are fighting a theocracy in the Middle East, and of course they're going to instill another one, which is going to upset our government. But as we fight a theocracy, the terrorists of 9/11, who were so right-wing zealots that they flew into our towers, how do we pay for their deaths? By turning into a government that becomes a theocracy. Now, to me, that doesn't serve the memory of 9/11 very well. As Republicans stand on the graves and the history of 9/11 and say, oh, look, we're bringing the country to a new place. No, you're bringing the country to a place that we rebelled against once before. You're trying to be a theocratic entity and tell us what our morals and what our values are. You're trying to inflict those morals and those values upon the electorate. And you're doing it in the name of having a great country. But yet when another country does that, like Iran or Iraq, we say they're evil and that they must be overthrown because the people must have a voice. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Do you know what we need to do?
I would say take a break.
Correct. Yeah, you're a radio guy. Hey, we're going to take a break here. Kill the promos here, but let's just, you're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special, hour number one thereof, and we're going to be on until noon. So if you want to give us a call, 479-1080 or 477-1340 are the phone numbers, although we're pretty well jammed, but people do drop off because they get tired of waiting. Stay with us, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, Central California.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. We'll be back on the other side. Take care.
It's out there, an insidious addiction plaguing literate people of Santa Cruz County. It starts innocently enough. You pick it up at a friend's house as a lark and makes you feel enlightened. Pretty soon you're buying it on the street. The more you use it, the smarter you feel. Then before you know it, you're having it delivered to your home. I'm talking, of course, about the Santa Cruz Sentinel. It hooks you with a headline, then story after story. The Sentinel feeds your craving for knowledge. Every day, something new to stimulate your mind. There are even comics to trick your children into reading more, leading them to the harder stuff, like books. Beware, Santa Cruz County. The Sentinel is out there. Read it, and you may never be content to live in ignorance again. The Santa Cruz Sentinel. Your news, your stories, every day.
And every Sunday, the Sentinel features insight with world and local views and opinions, Santa Cruz style, featuring stories about the lifestyle in Santa Cruz County, plus financial news in the Sunday Wall Street Journal. The Sunday Sentinel. Check it out.
Hi, everyone. It's MZ. I want to tell you about freedom.ksco.com. It's an offshoot of our main ksco.com website, and as the name implies, it's dedicated to keeping people informed about issues involving freedom and infringements thereof. We've just started this site, and at the moment, it's nothing more than a 33-minute video called Freedom on Trial, which I highly recommend all who care about health and freedom of speech to view. Now, very few people realize that though the U.S. Constitution guarantees the right to free speech, our government incredibly has arbitrarily decided that our right to freedom of speech does not apply when it involves dissemination of scientifically proven health claims which could be very beneficial to the public health. In fact, our government is actively engaged in suppressing such vital health information, and this is wrong. Luckily, a small group of champions of freedom of speech for the benefit of your good health have picked up the ball and have actually sued the FDA to force the right to inform you of medical facts. Freedom on Trial is about these people and can be viewed by simply logging on to freedom.ksco.com using a broadband connection. Watch it when you get a chance. It will open your eyes, and I'd be real interested in your feedback.
KSCO AM 1080, the station for intelligent people only. Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
Okay. All right. Welcome back to the hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special here. We're sort of getting our sea legs here in this great, amazing world of technology in which people who are far away can sound like they're right here in the studio, but it helps if the person running the board, me in this case, knows what he's doing. We have a special guest. That's Carell, who is a talk show host and an author. And you're there, Carell?
I'm here.
Hey, good. And we're talking about the gay agenda, okay?
Which no one carbon copied me on, by the way. I always missed that memo.
Yeah.
I never get it. I always hear about it, but I never get the memo.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Billy in Capitola is our next caller. You're on the air, Bill.
Check your mail, Carell. My gay agenda arrived today.
Oh, okay. I never get it. They always forget me.
You might not recognize it because it comes in the same envelope of where the Jews are planning how the world's going to go. And
Okay. That's probably why.
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure what the gay agenda is, but I definitely know what the agenda is of the other side. So let's talk about that for just a second. What I
Speak
really
on,
hear
honey.
From
the... You mean the other side? You mean the straight agenda?
No.
What other side are you talking about?
The anti-gay agenda.
Oh, okay.
Well, because you know, some of us are straight, and we're not anti-gay.
Right.
But some of us who are straight are, and we ought to look at that particular subsection of the people. Look, where is it coming from? And ultimately, what are they about? And I'm going to use a word. You tell me, and you know, MZ, correct me if I'm wrong. I know Carell will agree with me. But mostly the other side seems to want to make bullying okay.
Yes.
How about you, MZ?
They want to be able to push and majority rule their views onto anyone that's weaker than them.
You know, an interesting fact in the paper today, on the editorial page, they're talking about they asked a bunch of kids in school about the Constitution, and one in six students indicated that people shouldn't be allowed to express opinions that are unpopular.
Which is what the First Amendment's all about. You know, you bring up a great point, and that is, why do they always look at the gay agenda? Why don't they look at the agenda of those who are opposing gay and lesbian rights and see what exactly is on their plate and why it's on there? Why don't they ever examine these people and say, okay, yeah, you're against teaching all sexuality in school. Why? Why are you against that? And let's look at and examine more carefully those who would oppose fairness instead of those who would applaud it.
Well, the word has been used. The word has been used by the other side about this side, indoctrination. That's what it's about. It's
right.
About indoctrination.
If you ask me, and I can't pronounce it, but if you ask me, they're trying to indoctrinate.
You did a good job.
Thank you so much. I try. They're trying to indoctrinate more people to their agenda than gays and lesbians are. We're not out there saying, at least I'm not, and I think you may agree with this, and this is what makes a lot of gay people not like me. I'm not out there saying that you have to love me. I don't care if you love me. Just don't legislate against me. I don't care if you like me. Just don't tie me to the back of a truck, set me on fire, and drag me, or beat me and hang me by a fence post to die in Laramie, Wyoming.
Of course,
yeah, Matthew Shepard, you were telling me Matthew Shepard's mother, you had to
Judy
apologize
Shepard.
To. Yeah, you had
well,
to.
I apologized to her at a fundraiser for two things. First, in my book, I question what Matthew was doing in that truck. Why was he, in a truck with two drunk drug addicts, at all, being 5'4". He's such a slight little man. And, why was he even in that situation? And then also, 1 year after his death to the day, because we were on radio when Matthew Shepard was found, and
yeah.
We were filling in for Tim and Neil, and it came across the wire. 1 year to the day afterwards, we sent two straight actors out in a limo to a gay bar, Wired, and within 11 minutes, they had a person in the limo. They brought them back to the hotel room. When they entered the hotel room, there were me and Andrew with microphones saying, did you learn nothing from a year ago tonight? You just got in a car with two strangers whom you don't know. They're straight, by the way. They happen to be actors. You got in a vehicle. You let them take you someplace. There could have been a room full of fraternity students waiting to kill you here. And you didn't care. You just, after 11 minutes of conversation in a bar, hopped in a car with these people, and away you go. Did you not learn anything from the death of Matthew Shepard? And Judy Shepard actually had heard that and was a little bit offended by it. And I told her, I did not mean to offend you. It was really meant to point at my community and say, learn from these things.
Thanks, Correll. Now, Billy, you wanted to ask me a question?
Well, just, when I use words like prejudice, bias, and bullying, which side do you really think of?
He's got a point.
He does. Well, okay.
And you
listened to the program last week, Bill. I lost my temper for the first of very few times in my radio career with somebody who was a Christian, I think, who was very upset and insulted about something, and I was incensed that he was such a. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You encountered was Turner Byrne. I mean, how do you reason with that? When we talk about healing the great rift in this country, the problem is.
I mean, I called the guy an ass. I rarely call people names on
the
radio.
I do that every night.
I know you do. But
when people talk about healing this rift in our country, those on the other side don't mean heal, H-E-A-L. They mean heal, H-E-E-L. Heal, heal, get over here. They are not interested. And every time you see a poll in this country about how things are mending, they're not. It's 50.
Okay.
Correll, and that's the point I want to leave you with before we go. I so agree with you about the timing of the marriage thing in San Francisco and everything.
Yes.
But let me tell you why I disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you should take anything less than on any issue. If you want to call it marriage, you can't give me a good reason why you shouldn't. I don't want to give the other side an inch. They are wrong, and then they take it as historical precedent.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to hear Correll's response to you. Go ahead.
Well, I can give you a good reason why we shouldn't, and that is because I don't care what the courts decide in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I want to get gays and lesbians covered right
now.
I agree with you there. Court right now to try to sue for wrongful death, where if the statutes had been in place, it wouldn't even been an issue. So many gays and lesbians across this country have zero rights when it comes to their partners. So right now, I want to get them covered, and I want to get it covered under federal domestic partnership.
But as long as you settle for less, they'll always try to take that.
As long as we have
you,
the 3,000 rights,
we
that
have
they,
to defend ourselves. And I'm not a homosexual, by the way. At least
I agree with what you say, but as long as we get the 3,000 rights that are granted by marriage under federal domestic partnership, then you know what? I don't care what you call it.
We got to go. Thank you, Billy. Our next caller will be Scott in Santa Cruz. Scott, you're on the air with MZ and Correll. Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Correll.
Yes.
do you know the difference between homosexuality and gay? A homosexual and somebody who's gay?
If you're arguing semantics,
is this a joke?
No, it's not a joke. This is a real thing.
All right. I'm open. Go ahead.
Okay. Homosexuals don't tell people. Gay people, you know, parade it in front of everybody. Where did you get that definition? Well, that's just the way it is. That's what it is. Homosexuality.
So you've made up this definition.
Sounds like it.
People keep it a secret. Homosexuals are often married.
I'm married.
Well, you know, my
you're married to.
I'll tell you something. My belief about. You know, what I'm catching, Correll, from your voice, the whining in the voice, is that, man, you're a child, okay? No, there's nothing wrong. The children are attracted to the same sex. It's a natural phenomenon in nature. Mm-hmm. You know,
so gays are just 40-year-old children. So the mayor of governor of New Jersey was just a 40-year-old child, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. Okay. We're all attracted to the same sex when we're young, but we grow out of it. The ultimate talents. Well, the ultimate challenge.
Sort
of
like your voice changing. You're saying gays and lesbians' voices just never changed.
What?
It's like our voice changing. You're saying our voice just never changed.
We remain
Scott Brady forever. You know, think about it.
If everybody was homosexual, what would happen to the human race?
Boy, it'd be some party, wouldn't it?
We'd be dead. We'd all die.
No, we'd create test tube babies. You know,
someone's
under the misconception that gays can't reproduce, and many, many, many gays have children, and many lesbians have children. So I'm sorry, our organs still work, and we still can reproduce. So I don't know why you're under this misnomer.
The topic of the show is the gay agenda.
Right.
But to me, it's only part of an agenda, an anti-family agenda, to destroy the family.
How can you say anti-family when we're all family members? How would I? My mother adored me. My father adored me. My family adores me. I have a family. They adore me. How can you say I'm anti-family? I've built a family.
I'll tell you how. Are you familiar with Eastern mysticism?
Eastern mysticism? Well, some aspects of
Tao?
It.
Tao?
No, but well, but the
Tao?
No, sometimes, yeah, Buddhism.
Do you know what it means?
I've read the books, yes.
The I Ching. Do you know what it means? It's the center of all Oriental philosophy. It means masculinity and femininity is the way. There's a symbol, a circle, black and white.
Once again, you seem to be under the myth that men and women that are gay and lesbian are not masculine and or feminine.
It's the attraction between them, you see, that causes all nature and all things to exist. The give and take between them. That's where all life comes from.
Cause gays and lesbians to exist.
I'm saying from the electron, you know, in proton.
Hey, guess what, guys?
We can argue nuclear physics at some other point.
This is just terrible. I'm not being a very good host here, you know. One of the problems is having a talk host on as a guest is that
they talk.
Yeah. All right, anyhow, it's KSCO Santa Cruz, KMY. No, it's just KSCO Santa Cruz, back in 6 minutes.
USA Radio Network News, this is Cynthia King. A Florida couple was captured in Utah, accused of torturing and starving 5 children after police tracked them through their cell phones, according to officials.
Good news, at about 7:10 our time this evening.
If you can hear me?
I think I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm going to go tinkle, so I'll be going to tinkle.
Okay.
So if you speak to me and I'm not here, it's because I'm furthering the agenda in the bathroom.
Good. Okay.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay Zwirling.
Because this issue cuts to the heart of public sector injustice, it won't go away easily, despite the fact that a UC Top Gun, the university vice chancellor, was quickly dispatched to our local Sentinel to rationalize the recent public uproar. His attempt was tepid. Continuing the saga of the UC Regents, constantly concerned with budget issues, they still just approved excessive salaries and bloated moving expenses for Denise Denton, new UCSC chancellor, and her girlfriend, Professor Gretchen Calonhi. Because Denton asked, a new position was created at UCSC for companion Calonhi. It appears she has prestige in engineering circles, so now the Regents didn't want to lose her. In fact, they were honored and happy to pay her $193,000 per year and $50,000 for moving expenses. The new chancellor receives $275,000 plus $60,000 for moving. Nice, huh? As usual, the top dogs get too much, and those on the lower levels don't get enough. The inequity in salaries at the university is insulting and unjust, especially since this past year, UCSC became the recipient of donations of $35 million from alumni and others. They used $5 million of that endowment to purchase a large industrial building in the West Side Industrial Park with significant acreage for future building. Does that also mean that the university is exempt from paying property taxes, in which case we the people will have to pick up the slack? Haven't we also lost the former Holiday Inn to the Santa Cruz campus? It was either purchased or leased to house UCSC students. And if it was purchased, who pays those taxes? When the UC system in the 1960s received the 2,000 plus acres from the Cowell Foundation, the plan was to build housing for students on campus. That happened in the early years. But now, the entire west side of Santa Cruz is being inundated with students and their cars. Parking is a problem, rents are higher, and residential neighborhoods are crowded and deteriorated. Clearly, the University on the Hill is opting to continue to grow, but build minimally on campus and keep it pristine. And instead of building any more dormitories for students, they are opting to buy or lease facilities in Santa Cruz. Does anyone else get the feeling that UCSC is gradually taking over our city? For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
And now back to the Saturday special with Michael Swirling.
Oh, thank you very much, Aaron. Yes, sir. Let's start it officially, okay?
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but... I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
This is a very special day on the KSCO Saturday Special. We are actually learning what the gay agenda is. It's talked about a lot in the media, but we're actually finding out what it means today.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO.
Okay, welcome to hour number two. I don't know, Carell is our guest here.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah. And so
I love the gay agenda being talked about. It's usually by people who aren't gay. I love that. I love that everyone talks about the gay agenda, but it's usually not a gay person.
Well, I don't know if we'll get some gay callers. Let's invite them. 479-1080 or 477-1340. That would be nice. It's 9 minutes past 11, 9 minutes into the second hour of the KSCO Saturday Special. We'll be on the air right up until 12 noon. Apparently, there has been a 4.4 magnitude earthquake. It occurred about 15 minutes ago, 16 miles east of Alum Rock, California. That would be just east of San Jose. It was felt in Boulder Creek and on the west side of Santa Cruz.
There's a truck going by down here.
Okay. And is this just... No, here's a fax from Tim.
Not Tim.
Tim in Santa Cruz.
Tim, God bless it. Timmy!
All right, here's what it says here. This is just an anti-Christian show. No, is this just an anti-Christian show or a show about why many different people have legitimate concerns about children being forced to learn about this subject matter? Note the ubiquitous Christian bashing. What about science? There is a gay agenda. Europe and Canada prove that tolerance is not an option. Only one bizarre sexual behavior, always taught to be normal and forced to be accepted. This subject has no place in schools, maybe bathhouses. You hear this always in Carell's undertones anyway, always licentious, and that's from Tim in Santa Cruz. And it all, and it's handwritten from this point on. It says, I always thought Sodom was a myth, not now.
I think it's so.
Apparently a lot of people listen to you who listen to this station also.
Oh, I'm sure. And you know what? I get so... It's going to be so funny in 200 or 300 years when people look back on this time and they're going to say they actually debated that. They actually debated whether a woman had the right to say what happened to her body. They actually debated sexual practices, what went on behind, you know, closed doors. They actually debated who should get rights and who shouldn't. I mean, history is not going to look kindly on the social movements in this country in the late 20th and early 21st centuries. It's just not. They're going to look back and they're going to be amazed. They're going to be amazed that religion got... And you know what? I'm sorry that they think it's Christian bashing, but who do you think is going against this, quote, gay agenda? Do you know that 99% of the complaints received by the FCC over Janet Jackson's breast were by one organization, that shill of an organization, Focus on a Family? Do you know that a majority of the complaints to the FCC about indecency are from one Christian organization? One.
Wait a minute. That's James Dobson's group.
Yes. So one.
How do you know that?
It's the San Jose Mercury News did quite a piece on it. They research it. You can research who complains to the FCC. A majority of their complaints about indecency are lodged by one or two right-wing Christian organizations. So I'm sorry if people say it's Christian bashings, but Christians feel nothing about bashing gays and lesbians. On one side of their mouth, they say we love them and we're compassionate, but we want them to change. Well, if you love something, you don't want them to change. You accept them and love them. I've always said that if Jesus came back today, the people that he would go minister to would be the gays and lesbians, the women who are seeking legal abortions. These are the people that Jesus would go and find, the outcast. That's who he preached to, allegedly, back in the days of old. So I am sorry if they consider it Christian bashing, but my entire 42 years has been spent under Christian rules and being bashed by Christians in the name of their God.
I have a fax to read from Robot, also known as Brian. It's too bad this intolerant, Christian-hating degenerate can't be heard nationwide. More people should know what these perverts really think. Your guest, like the actions of the mayor of San Francisco, whom I emailed a thank you note, could wake up a lot of people sitting on the sidelines. Your guest mentions that many normal marriages end in divorce and often involve domestic violence. A thinking person would realize that queer couples would also have divorces if they were allowed to, quote, marry. I'm sure that your guest also knows there is often violence in queer relationships. Your guest asked what normal couples are trying to protect their children from. He answered his own question when he said nearly a generation of his friends has died. Frankly, sodomy is bad for your health. And that's from Brian, a.k.a. Robert.
First of all, the largest number of people with HIV in this world are heterosexual. That's the first statistic that Brian just needs to, or Robot, or whoever he is, needs to wrap his small brain around. Second of all, sodomy exists inside of heterosexual relationships. In fact, more prevalent than inside homosexuals, simply by nature of there being more heterosexuals. So he needs to wrap his little brain around that. Third of all, I am heard nationally, and you know what the response I normally get? It, from rational thinking people is, oh my God, I had no idea we were so much alike. Because when we talk about the gay agenda, do you know what my gay agenda was this week? Monday morning, I had to put my dog of 14 years, Owen, to sleep. And so basically Monday and Tuesday was spent crying with family members, extended family members,
wow,
people who I've known for 20 years.
We have a family member right here at the radio station that had to do exactly the same thing on the same day.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, that was my gay agenda this week. My gay agenda this week was meeting with my attorneys about finally trying to get the wrongful death lawsuit through the appellate court in Los Angeles. My gay agenda this week was meeting with a manager about getting more theatrical work Monday through Friday. My gay agenda is the exact same agenda of every working, tax-paying American out there.
Okay.
The only time that it becomes an issue for me about being gay is when someone on the outside makes it an issue, when they try to take away something, legislate against, or try to do some sort of stupid, silly rule simply because of who I have in my nature to sleep with.
So you're not an in-your-face gay?
You know what? I mean,
you're
really, my nature of being out, I think that...
Well, just because you're on the radio on a major station doesn't make you an in-your-face gay, in my book, anyhow.
Well, I'm certainly more out than someone like a Jim Gabbert or an Al Rantel, who, you know, if you told them they were gay, would be shocked. I mean, quite frankly, because, look, if someone's going to make a reference to their wife
Or if they're going to make a reference to a smart-looking woman or whatever, I'm going to make the same reference, but I'm going to make it about a man. And that automatically makes me an in-your-face gay. If I talk about my late husband, Andrew, and call him my late husband, then suddenly I'm an in-your-face gay. But if you spoke about your past wife as your late wife, no one would even bat an eye.
Yeah.
If I talk about my extended family, you know, that facts that said about how, you know, protect marriage. If you want to protect marriage, make divorce harder. If you want to protect marriage, make divorce not something you can do on the internet. If you really care about marriage, if that is your goal and the American family is your goal, then make divorce harder. Because right now the number one killer of marriage is divorce, not gay people. So if you really want to protect marriage, stop barking at people who want to get in the institution. People who, by the way, right now have relationships like mine of 11-plus years, and the only reason they stay together is because they love each other. There's no piece of paper that says you can't walk away. There's no court proceeding that says you can't walk away. The only reason long-term gay couples who might want to enter the institution of marriage want to get married are because they want to protect the spouse that they have been with for years out of love, not out of obligation. And when we go to the school issue and we talk about legislating what kids could learn, I should think, first of all, that you, the parent, should be teaching your kids about the way the world is. But because you don't, because we are a society that have walked away from our children and left their parenting to PlayStation and to schools and to government programs because we just can't be bothered, we can't open our Palm Pilot and schedule our kids in. Heaven forbid one of us should give up our career. Yes, I sound like Dr. Laura. But whatever the case...
Who sent you a flower?
Yes, she did send me a bouquet of flowers when Andrew died. I put them on the back of the toilet because there was no room elsewhere in the house. But they looked very good there.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, you know, when you talk about what you need to teach kids the real world. And kids in the real world, some of you are going to be different. Some of you are going to be gay. Some of you are going to be bi. Some of you are going to be heterosexual. But in the real world, you all are going to be equal.
Okay. Hey, Carell, this is a great show, but you know we're going to have to start letting some of our callers get more.
Bring
in.
Bring them on.
Someone's been waiting actually 38 minutes and 23, 24, 25.
Child, you don't need to worry about that. On my show, they wait hours.
Okay, listen, right, here. I have an announcement to make here. This Monday at 7 p.m., the Scotts Valley School Board is holding this public meeting, the subject of which tolerance and diversity, and in the public interest, KSCO Radio will broadcast the hearing live beginning at 7 p.m. This live broadcast is brought to you as a public service by Help You Sell, Scotts Valley, Bruno's Barbecue, Gas House Pizza, KSCO, and the Zwirling Family. So tune in. If you're doing something else at 7 p.m., cancel it. This is worth it. This will be a great public interest public hearing broadcast here on your favorite radio station. Now, we want to thank Marguerite for waiting 39 minutes here. We're going to put her on the air.
Hi.
How you doing?
Give her something. Give her a book.
Okay.
Okay. Well, this guy's excruciating for me, really.
How in the world did you stay on hold for that long, then?
Oh, people that hate
I'm
you stay on the longest.
He's hypnotized. Hey, listen, the only reason people marry is to protect their spouse, but, you know, any attorney can draw contracts that would give hetero couples or queer couples
that's not true.
Rights as married.
That's
so that
not true.
The lamest excuse to
whose
want
phone
to
is ringing?
That's actually my studio hotline.
Oh.
CPA can advise you on how to get tax credits that'll far outweigh any tax credits as if you were married. Now, can parents marry their children? Can my mother marry my sister?
You know what? The polygamy argument, the bestiality argument, you know, that's not an argument that's... Bill Maher said this best. There are some things we need to accept as fact, whether you can wrap yourself around this or not. First of all, evolution, no more argument, it happened. Second of all, being gay, not a choice. It simply is the way things are. And if you say that lawyers can protect, you know, can grant the same rights that married couples have, I say to you, no, they can't.
Yes,
they can't,
can.
And I know this as... Are you gay?
No.
Are you a lesbian?
No.
Have you ever tried to protect your rights under the law with a lawyer?
Isn't a gay and a lesbian one and the same thing?
No, as a matter of fact.
Well, here, straighten me out here, okay, before we... Because I want to learn something here. What's the difference? Stay there, Margaret.
I've figured it out for years, but for some reason the lesbian community decided that being gay wasn't good enough for them, so it has to be gay and lesbian. So now gay in the gay world, which I don't agree with, by the way.
Well,
I've never agreed with
it. Is it possible for someone to be a lesbian and not gay?
You know, probably. Maybe that's a lesbian without a U-Haul.
I mean, why is it that...
Dave Allen is an avowed lesbian. He announced it here on the radio 7 years ago.
I support him on that.
Hey, why is it that men that put their peepers in men's poopers acquire a dialect and a lisp?
Why is it that people from the South acquire a dialect and a lisp? And by the way, you can grow up here. You know, it's hard to have an argument with someone, a battle of wits with someone so completely unarmed.
Wait a minute.
Queer men are obnoxiously lust obsessed.
You know what?
Most conversations
men are obnoxiously lust obsessed.
Through their fag filter, and I see men in beards and tattoos wearing cheerleading uniforms, these tiny little pleated skirts and pom poms, cheering peeper pooper pride in parades.
Gay pride festivals.
So
I think gay pride
about?
Festivals should be stopped. I don't
what
agree with them at all.
Now wait a minute, Margaret, would you please listen to Correll?
What is there to be proud about?
No, Margaret, he just said something that I think you're going to like.
It again. Margaret, I don't go to gay pride festivals. I don't condone gay pride festivals.
Why do you have a
I don't
dialect?
Think anything prideful happens at gay pride festivals.
What's with your dialect?
This is, honey, I'm from the South. This is
honey?
How I talk.
I'm not your honey. What's
yeah, you
dialect?
Are right now, babe.
Why is it that every gay has to announce his gayness with his dialect?
Why is it every straight person has to announce their straightness with the Super Bowl? Give me a break, woman. Jeez Louise. You think that heterosexuals hide their sexuality? That's all we see our entire lives. Every television program, every billboard, every car ad, every toothpaste commercial. You say that gay men are lustful? I want to break it to you, babe. Men are lustful. Not just gay men. Regular heterosexual men would have just as much sex as gay men if women would just put out more.
You know
and
something,
that's the
Margaret.
Basis of fact.
You know something, Margaret.
What?
Correll is right.
Nah. I go to all kinds of parties. I've gone to all kinds of.
Really?
May I ask you a personal question? May I ask you a personal question?
Listen, they don't talk constantly about being on their knees and getting knee rashes and
boy, she does know. I want to go to her party.
Talk about with this dialect.
I want to go to some of her parties. We talk about politics at our parties.
Not even 4-year-old little girls talk with dialect.
Lord have mercy.
Would you allow KSCO people, the KSCO audience, to participate in some of the parties that you attend or give?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Because both Correll and I are intrigued.
Yeah, I want to go.
Well, no, I'm just saying that, man,
now, wait a minute.
Into straight.
I'm serious, Mark. I'm dead serious here, Margaret. Would you welcome me? Margaret, will you listen? Damn it. Here. Will you listen? Just listen here. Would you invite me and the KSCO audience to one of the parties that you give?
Yes.
Would you invite Correll? Cool.
Well, I'm there.
He'll feel out of place, though, like all the other gays do.
You know, you see, and that's such a ridiculous statement. I have made a career at being on mainstream radio where, after 5 minutes, people with any kind of open mind not only realize that not am I out of place, that I fit right in their place just fine.
Because
like you, Margaret, I don't sit around and talk about being on my knees. What? Or as you say, you're, I don't even know what you said, it was so juvenile, something about the pooper and the duty and the whatever, the hands and the people or whatever. You know what? There's so much more to life than that. And I don't attend pride festivals for that very reason. I'm not really proud of dykes on bikes. You want to have a motorcycle group where you wear nipple rings and shirtless to the wind, nipples flying in the breeze? Go ahead. But don't parade down Main Street and tell me you're proud of it. Just like I wouldn't want a heterosexual parade, although there are many, where there are you know, people on the back of flatbed trucks engaging in intercourse. It's just not something that I'm proud of.
Men who are, why is it that men who are like a leg man, you know, they love long legs. That's what they love the most about a woman. Why is it they don't have a funny little leg man dialect? Why is it that breast
honey, they do. You just don't hear it because you're a woman.
Yeah, that's true. Anyhow, Margaret, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Let's go now to poor Char in Monterey, okay? Char, welcome to KSCO. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've been reading about the situation at Scotts Valley for the past week and a half, and I'm livid, absolutely incensed, because these posters are being put up shoving, no pun intended, down lesbianism and homosexuality down these children's throats. And let me tell you something. I'm a California taxpayer. I I am livid about my tax dollars being put in the classroom, and all these schools in the state of California and these children are so cotton pick and confused. We wonder why our kids can't read. We wonder why our kids can't add and subtract and don't even know their multiplication tables. This is insanity, and I'm sick of these bully homosexuals pushing this stuff down these kids' throats.
Wait.
Okay. I'm a taxpayer.
Yes, so am I, hon.
I want to tell you.
Probably more than you.
I'll keep that meeting. I will be there with Brad Dacus and the Pacific Justice Institute, and I'm sick of my tax dollars. I don't have kids in school anymore. I used to be a teacher, and I'd no more put a poster up in my classroom than fly to the moon, and you are a bully, sir.
What's your biggest concern?
I don't care.
What's your biggest concern?
The biggest concern is these kids need to read, write, and learn something in school instead of being confused about their vaginas and their penises.
Char, come on.
You can't argue with that side. That's what I'm telling
average,
you.
The average age of a homosexual committing sodomy right now in this country is 49 years of age. And if you're promoting sodomy for these children, you should be arrested.
Yes, I promote sodomy for children all the time. I do it out front of Neverland Ranch, actually.
You're putting a death wish on our children. And I don't want you to do it.
I am, and you better believe it,
sir. Let me tell you something.
One person at a time, please.
Okay,
come on.
Okay, you're taking my state tax dollars, and you're putting your bully agenda.
Let's talk about your tax dollars.
Yes, you are. I want to urge everybody in the three counties to show up at that meeting as a taxpayer, not a bigot, not a Christian.
Let's talk about tax dollars, okay?
You're promoting AIDS.
First of all, what's her name? Margaret?
No, this is Char.
I'm not here. You're promoting AIDS.
Char.
You are promoting sodomy to these children.
The person in the state of California.
Wait a minute.
It's getting ridiculous now. I'm going to have to pot everybody down, and I'm going to have to take control, which I haven't done. It's terrible. I've been much too passive on this whole broadcast, and ladies and gentlemen, I am ashamed of myself for that. You know, I really need to take control. Now, I'm going to ask Char to say her piece for about 15 or 20 seconds, and then I'm going to have Carell respond to it, and then we're going to move on to another caller. So, Char, go ahead.
Okay, I think you're promoting sodomy and lesbianism to our children from kindergarten through 12th grade, and you're doing it on our state tax dollars, and I want to urge every taxpayer in three counties to show up at that meeting. Another thing, a friend of mine, and I won't mention his name, in Santa Cruz County had a child going to the high school, and he was taught that Abraham Lincoln was a queer, a homosexual. Now, that's got to stop. And I'm fed up with it. And I'm going to be there. You'll see me. It's propaganda, and you're bullies. And I think it's horrible what you all are doing.
Do you think it's horrible that we're broadcasting this?
No, I think it's great you're broadcasting.
Okay, good. And you know that we're going to, for those people who can't make it, and, you know, can't make it to Scotts Valley, they can hear the program live on KSCO.
Well, I think it's a great thing that you're doing, and I've been reading about this. I have been so incensed. I've been reading about it in the Monterey Herald. I'm driving with my husband all the way to Scotts Valley as a taxpayer.
Okay.
Not a Christian. I'm married. I don't believe in pushing sodomy and lesbianism and dildos and you know what? I don't think Carell does either.
But let's thank you for your phone call.
Okay.
And now here comes Carell. Carell, do you believe in any of that?
There are so many places to start with her. It's unbelievable. She wants to talk about tax dollars. First of all, the number one growing section of HIV and AIDS cases in the state of California are youth, not gay youth, but youth ages 14 to 25. According to a recent NBC Katie Couric special, young children no longer think of oral sex even as sex. They are having sex at 14 and 15, and they are having oral sex, and some of them are having gay sex. And since parents want to stick their heads in the sand about this, unfortunately, it then falls back to the school to talk about. But if she wants to talk about tax dollars, we have proven that education, when it comes to HIV, when it comes to discrimination, education saves us so much more money in the long run than it does to A, fight lawsuits on a state level, than it does to B, pay for people with HIV and AIDS who become on the care of the state because their insurance companies won't cover it, or because, like so many Americans in the Bush administration, they have lost their health insurance. It pays to educate young women about teen pregnancy as opposed to having them have the child and then go on the welfare rolls. She has no idea about how to save tax dollars. She is merely another bully, since she used the term, who wants to say, oh, I don't want this lifestyle even taught in my school. I don't want my kids to even know about this. Well, you can put your kid in a plastic bubble. Pull him out of school and put him in an evangelical school. Do whatever you want to. But in the general public, for the general good, homosexuality is, in fact, a part of everyday life, whether you like it or whether you don't. And to tell kids otherwise not only does a disservice to them, so when they get older, either A, they put themselves at risk for risky behavior, or B, they get a very big culture shock, like, what's this? No one told me about this. And then all of a sudden, you know, hate crimes happen, et cetera, et cetera. She wants to talk about saving money. You save money through educating. And the last I looked, when you educate someone, you don't pick and choose which information to give them. Would I teach in school that Abraham Lincoln is gay? Not at the moment, because the evidence is still very anecdotal. However, there is a huge amount of anecdotal evidence that he was, in fact, homosexual.
Do you think we'll ever know for sure?
No, of course not, and I don't think it matters. The man was a great man. Why can't that
That's
be
exactly
taught?
Right.
Why
okay.
can't his accomplishments be
and
taught
it has
and
been
not
taught.
What he did sexually?
Right. Okay, good. Here comes Joe and Salinas. Thanks for waiting, Joe. You're on KSCO. Hello, Joe. Hello, Joe. Going once, going twice.
I heard him.
Joe is... Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh. Joe, are you there? No, you just... you know, you.
I heard him. I did.
Well... Oh, wait a second. You know what? Joe, are you there?
You've killed him.
I feel like such a fool. Joe, call back.
He's
I'm sorry.
Gone.
Yeah, you know, it was my fault. I didn't have him him potted up, but that you heard him just blows me
away.
I
heard him. I did.
All right, here comes Michael in Live Oak. Michael, you are on the air on the KSCO Saturday special.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, I don't know. Tell me.
I've been listening. Pretty good show today. I want to respond to his comment about this thing is going to be so just the norm and all in the future. If he really thinks that his way of life and his people's way of life, if he really thinks that our tolerance, the normal people in America, if he really thinks our tolerance for what he is shoving down everyone's throat, abortion, all this degrading, immoralizing filth that exists in our society today, if he really thinks that the very vast majority of people are going to continue to tolerate this, and we're going to continue to let our children be just sickened by it, he's out of his mind. And everyone who thinks like he does is out of their mind.
Do you know why it will happen? Because your children
don't care. And I
really don't
want to talk to you, sir, because I think you're a horrible, horrible person.
Oh, I thank you.
And I'm just letting you know. Sir,
no, that's fine.
That we, if you want to call sir, we've had it with it. We've had it with you. We've had it with your kind. If you could keep it to yourselves in your bedroom.
In your closet.
Whatever.
We've had it with your kind. We've had it with your people. We're going to take your people out back and we're going to lynch them up because we've had it with your people trying to have rights.
Let me tell you something, bud. I grew up.
Boy, one day when you people remember your place and you just get back to the back of the bus.
I'm not going to argue with you.
We had it with you.
Okay, wait a minute here. Go ahead. You can say your thing. Go ahead, quickly, caller. Michael, you've been waiting on the phone.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't make a habit of calling up these talk shows. I sit and listen to you every day. You know, I like most of your programming.
Do you not like this program?
I do not like the subject because it actually turns my stomach that we have to have these conversations.
Right. Do you think it's irresponsible for KSCO to broadcast this topic and have this guest?
Absolutely not.
Okay, good.
Absolutely
good.
Not, because from what I'm hearing so far, this man's getting cut into pieces, and that's what he needs to be.
Right.
I mean, he's... We really, sir, we've had it with you. We have had it with you in
what you're
doing to our lives, our society, and our children.
That's
I tell you what, the voice of the vast majority in America, including here in liberal Santa Cruz, mm-hmm. is fixing to stand up. And we're fixing to stop you from what you're doing.
Stop those kinds
of people. You're going to end up on a barge out in the middle Pacific Ocean.
A barge? We need to segregate your people.
We've had it with it. We have had it.
Okay.
And that's all I really have to say to you.
I appreciate your calling, KSCO. Keep listening anyhow, okay?
Okay, I will. Good. Thank you very
good.
Much.
Well, see, he's a lot better than some of these other people who threaten never to listen to us again because
you
they heard
what?
Something they don't like.
First of all, if they threaten never to listen to you, they're going to tune in the next day.
I know.
Second of all, we need to take them cons and we need to put them on a barge somewhere. We need to open up them concentration camps again because we're sick of your kind. You need to just go back in the closet and be quiet about who you are because, after all, you're not an American.
Something important must have really happened because the pilot in command, Aaron, is here. So, Aaron, you're on. What's up?
First, I just want to, you know, I just want to apologize to Corell because I feel like at first when this program came on, I thought it was such a snooze. You know, I'm so sick of like the gay, not gay argument, you know, but the more I've sat here and listened, the more I've realized it is really an important thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Because all these people that are coming on, all these people that are saying that, like, he is shoving things down the listener's throat, that you're a guest on this program. And the people that are calling, you know, someone said recently to me that ignorance leads to arrogance. And no more has that ever been represented to me than by this program this morning. Everything that you have said so far, Corell, has made such sense to me. You know, and I really, like, I never cared.
You're a Christian, too.
Yeah, I'm a
Christian.
And
you read the Bible, too.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well,
and I don't...
And most Christians, by the way, and I speak to this on my show all the time, most Christians, a majority of Christians, are good, regular, and I use the term, and not out of disrespect, God-fearing Americans who could care less about what I do so long as it doesn't infringe upon their family and their faith.
Yeah.
And most of them, and I've been on Michael Medved shows 100 times, and Michael, of course, is a very devout Christian. And
no, he's not. He's a Jew. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry, Jew. He's a very devout religious man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And many, many times we've agreed to disagree on certain issues, and always in a civil tone. He's never said, you people should be put on a barge in the middle of the Pacific. I mean, when the level of debate gets to that point, and that's where these people want to go, make no mistake, when the president talks about a marriage amendment, he doesn't want a marriage amendment. He wants us gone. When those people who have been calling in who say, you can be what you want to be, just don't show... No, they don't. They don't want us here. They don't want to know that we're here. They don't want to know that we exist. They certainly don't want to know that we're in their family. And, you know, when they talk about shoving things down their throats, what's been shoved down my throat for 42 years of my life? What has been shoved down my throat that I'm wrong? Do any of you listening, outside of the gays and lesbians listening, know what it's like to sit and watch a seated president call you immoral? Do any of you know what it's like to wake up in the morning on election day and have 11 states vote on your very existence as to whether or not your relationship is valid or not? Do any of you know what it's like every day, including on this program, to have the very life that they lead, and they can lead no other unless it's a lie, be put up for public debate? How many of you would debate the intimacies of your life on national television and radio?
With Michael Savage, huh?
I've done it with Savage and Falwell. I've done it with Concerned Women for America. I've done it with Wolf Blitzer.
Have you ever been on with Roy Masters?
No, I have not.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah. We can bring him on. Well, another time. We'll do it another time.
But the point I'm making is they keep saying that we're trying to shove something down their throat. We are not trying to shove anything. At least I'm not. Now, there are some of my activists who I disagree with. I think that much like the religious right and the left, which has its real lefties and its real righties, the gay community has extremists in it. Extreme times call for extreme measures. I don't agree with a majority of what my leaders go out and fight for. I think they're misguided. I think that they're fighting the wrong battles. And I think that they fight it in a way that is non-productive. That you, because when you run up against a brick wall like the gentleman who called before, how do you change his mind? You don't. And I don't want to scream at that brick wall anymore. I could care less about him. Let him be a bigot. This
okay.
is America. Be a bigot.
Because you were screaming, and I had to pot you down, which I hated to do.
You know, when someone says that you should, you know, be put on a barge, or we don't like your kind, and when you think America's going to look back, those were the same words that caused people to be killed.
I know, but don't you think that if you were to just be quiet there. Don't you think the guy would dig his own grave?
I've been quiet for 42 years. It's now my turn to speak up.
Okay.
They've had the microphone forever, and it's my turn.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so next caller, we are going to have Joe and Salinas. Joe, my apologies.
I heard him. He was there.
Now I think he's there now. Are you there, Joe?
Yeah, hello.
Sorry about before. That was my fault.
That's fine.
But you're on the air now. You're on KSCO on the Saturday special with MZ and Carell.
Yeah, I think that Carell is doing the same thing to the gay and lesbian movement that he says that Gavin Newsom is doing. Gavin Newsom does it by flaunting the law. But Carell, maybe he doesn't understand how off-putting he sounds on the radio. And every time we hear him, he's not someone who is tolerant. You know, he's not tolerant of the right to the unborn. You hear him all the time speaking as if they have no rights at all. And just the way he gets in people's faces, that's not going to win people over. Now, he can speak and he can be on all the time, which he is. But he's not winning people over. He's actually turning them the other way.
Well, first of all, you're wrong. I'm the number one rated talk show in my time slot, so that's to be whatever. But second of all, I have no viewpoint other than a casual one on the right to the unborn. Do you know why? I'm not a woman. I don't have a vagina or a uterus. It is not my place to legislate what a woman and her doctor decide that she can do with a product of conception. That is not my place to legislate, and no man in this country should be able to legislate what a woman does with her body and the product of conception. Period. End. No man should have that right, particularly rich, white, Republican men. It is none of their business what a woman does with a legal procedure between her and her doctor. If you have a problem with that, then you know what? Go out and get pregnant. If men could get pregnant, abortion would be drive-through. It would just be that simple. And as for finding me abrasive, you know what? I find Michael Savage abrasive. I don't listen. I find Rush Limbaugh amusing. I do listen. I find, you know, many people abrasive. And you know what? That's what makes this country great. We have the right to be abrasive.
You know,
if you
Joe,
don't, like it, don't listen.
Joe, Carell is right on that.
Of course he has the right. And if he wants to exercise that right, it's not going to get him. Get his points across.
You get.
I mean, he's fighting.
What you're saying is that you get more.
What anyone would understand is an uphill battle.
I think what you're saying is that you get.
Over, or does he want to win points?
What you're saying is you get more with honey than feces.
That's not true,
I mean,
in this country.
Yeah.
Maybe you get more with feces than honey is what you're saying.
You know what? The women got the right to vote by one vote.
Are they going to come back to you? Are they going to say, "Hey, I like that, and I agree with that"? No, not at all.
Women
and
got the right to vote.
As a man having a right, hey, you don't have a child without a man and a woman. And I'll say,
yeah, but the man can walk away.
Responsibility. We talk about defending the helpless. Who is more helpless than the unborn?
Wasn't there some joke about a woman who said it's not my kid?
To defend those who can't help themselves.
That's not mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, a man. First of all, a man can walk away, so don't even try to give me that drama about that. Second of all, you know what? I'm tired of being nice. I'm tired of sitting by while you tell me that my very existence is wrong and that I should be put on a barge or the back of the bus
well,
and go back into the
I don't think Joe said that. It's just that one
you know
guy
what?
Who said that.
I'm tired of school. You know, I attended a school board meeting in Fountain Valley when they were trying to get a gay-straight alliance going at their Fountain Valley High School, and I was there to cover the event. And the kids who wanted to start the Gay-Straight Alliance were there. And the parents stood up to testify about this Gay-Straight Alliance. And the things the parents said were so appalling that the kids had to come to me afterwards and ask what their parents were talking about. What's fisting? What's bestiality?
Wow.
I mean, these kids had to come to me and say, we just wanted to get together with our friends that happened to be gay or straight and promote an area of tolerance. What are they talking about?
What is it, Joe? What is it you want, Joe?
Okay, you know, Carell's talking about he's waited for many years and he's tired of being silent. You know, we went up, 7,000 of us went to San Francisco, and we walked in the streets peacefully, and pro-life walked. We were yelled at, we were screamed at, we were spit at.
Not by me.
You know, it's the first time I've ever been in any kind of a walk.
Yeah, I don't think Correll would do that. But
not by me.
And
yeah,
probably the kind of people who would do that are the kind of people who don't like Correll.
Right. It's not by me that you're being... You have a right. If you don't want to have an abortion, don't have one.
Yes.
No, I would think that they would be very much in
oh, you'd
agree
be wrong.
With him.
No, you know what? Listen, I've listened to Correll on the radio, not a lot. I don't have a chance to listen a lot, but I have. So that I was really happy that he agreed to be on the radio with us here today. But in getting to know him on the telephone when I was driving down to Santa Cruz today, I don't think Correll is an in-your-face person. Is he abrasive? Yeah. I mean, is he fun? Is he delightful to listen to? Yeah. Does he make some good points? Yeah. Do I agree with everything he says? No.
Right. That's the beauty of this country. Look, if you don't want to have an abortion, or if your daughter doesn't want to have an abortion, then don't. It's just that simple. If you don't agree with same-sex marriage,
it's like what I say. If people don't like something they're hearing on KSCO, don't report the FCC. Don't say that or just don't listen.
Just tune out.
Yeah.
And it's just that simple.
But again, gay activists are trying to get these rights which they have no entitlement to. And
which rights are those?
So much about money. And getting benefits. I mean, that's
Joe, I feel bad. I let you stay on because we made you wait so long. But we really got to move on. I hope you don't mind. Okay. Thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Next, let's go to Jeannie in Aptos. Jeannie, you're on. Oh, you know what? I just hung up on Jeannie. Are you still there? Are you there, Jeannie?
Yeah.
I'm gonna start giving out my home number. They can just call me.
It's a new system, and I just...
I know how it is. Well, believe me, I know how it is.
But you don't even have to switch your calls. I mean, it's amazing. Well, here. Jeannie, you're on with Correll.
Okay. You hear me, Anthony.
Yeah, but please make it quick. I know.
I know. I always say that. I go to the international conferences, and I go there as a media representative, and I sit and I listen to the movers and shakers, Stephen Rockefeller and Mikhail Gorbachev and so forth. And I have interviewed these elitist people. And what it comes down to, MZ, is population control. And part of the program is the homosexual program, where, of course, homosexuals do not procreate. And they need less people. And I hear it all the time in the international conferences, population control. And they have actually said that is why they have the homosexual agenda. And it's unfortunate.
So that's what you think is at least a major part of the gay, of the quote-unquote gay
right.
agenda, if there is one. You know, making population go down rather than up.
Yeah. And these people are very sincere in what they believe in. But who is actually the magician behind the curtain is the Rockefellers and the multinational corporations and the elitists. So they're actually using them as pawns for their population control.
Okay.
Yeah, thank them.
Thank you very much for your call. That was Jeannie in Aptos. Now we're going to go to...
I wasn't aware the Twilight Zone had phone lines.
Richard N. Watsonville. Richard, you're on.
Good morning.
Hey, Richard.
Carell and Michael.
Good morning.
You know, there's a lot of gay people in San Francisco that don't like what Correll has to say.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. He told me that himself, so.
Well, I know it. I know a lot of gay people, and they don't like what Correll has to say, but, I've been listening to Correll since he was down with Drew and KFI and all that. And, back in the old Bill Hendry days and all that. But, Mike, Tuesday night, after the Scotts Valley meeting, you're going to broadcast that meeting live, right?
Well, we're going to broadcast the interesting part of it. Now, there's some equipment. I'm happy you brought that up because I announced earlier that our broadcast is going to start at 7 p.m. And a number of people have said, hey, wait a minute, that's not right. The meeting starts at 6 p.m. because that's what the Scotts Valley School Board website says.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Just don't be listening to KSCO even at 6 p.m.
Well, what I was wondering about was, are we going to have open lines after the meeting?
Yeah, we will.
And another thing, Correll.
Yes.
Jonathan Service and Jason Nathanson.
Yes.
Do you know them?
Michael Swirling is the reason why they're here and still in the business. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I adore them. Jonathan Service is one of my best friends at KGO, and he is one of the nicest people that I've ever worked with in the business.
Mr. Zwirling here is the one that gave them their first gigs in radio.
Well, thank you, because they are some of the nicest people in radio, and they've helped me, and I can't tell you how much they've helped me at KGO.
They're real, creative.
I really remember when we had no sex education in school, right, Mike?
Yeah. No, I can't remember that. There was always some.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
It was covered in health class, basically. Back when
is that what it was?
And PE also, you know. But, of course, that didn't happen until 7th.
Yeah, but, you know, I learned more in auto shop, you know, with the magazine.
More in wood shop. I learned in home ec, obviously.
Why do they call why do you think they call it wood shop?
Exactly. Right. Woody Woodpecker.
But he brings up a great point, and I told you this on the phone. I'm not gay enough for the gay people.
Well, how about mentioning how you married a woman just to help her out?
I'm still married to a woman.
That's what I'm saying. You helping her out, aren't you?
Yes, she needed health insurance because she was 60 years old and she was changing jobs and couldn't afford Cobra. My husband had died. I wasn't planning on marrying anyone in the near future, and it was a way that I could help her. And marriage has always been historically about property rights or dowries or whatever. And so certainly marrying someone because you love them,
and
I adore Karen.
And gay people did not bring you to KGO. It was heterosexual people.
And you replaced
a woman.
Yes. Jack Swanson is not gay. Trish Robbins is not gay. David Hall in Los Angeles is not gay.
That's right.
And gay people don't like my show. In fact, when the San Jose Mercury News did a full-page story on me, they called every gay organization in San Francisco, and either they didn't know of me or didn't like me.
That's a fact.
And so when your audience out there thinks, oh, well, he's on the gay side. No, I'm not.
No, he's a redneck.
Thank you. I'm basically a redneck, too.
That redneck that wanted to put you out there on the boat, though, that's what's messing this place up.
Well, you know,
here.
If the boat had a DJ and a buffet, I mean, don't eat the buffet. You'll get stomach flu. But
I like seafood. Yeah, I'll see you guys later.
Thanks.
There goes Richard.
But he brings up the point is we put people in little boxes, and we expect them to behave a certain way based on the box that they're in. And when they behave a different way, all of a sudden it rocks the boat. It goes against the norm. Well, yeah, but that's okay. Our country went against the norm. Our founding fathers went against the norm. Our form of government went against the norm.
Okay. Hey, listen, I know you're on a roll, but here comes Mike in Santa Cruz. Mike, you're on. Oh, what's wrong with that phone line? It's horrible.
Hello?
It sounds like you're frying eggs or something.
Oh, no, that's
this
too bad.
This is Mike's brain on drugs.
Okay, quickly, real quick, Mike.
Yeah,
the phone is intolerable.
They told us what the homosexual agenda is. In the Gay Community News, February 15th to 21st, 1987, just a few short excerpts. We shall sodomize your sons, emblems of your feeble masculinity, of your shallow dreams and vulgar lies. We shall seduce them in your schools, in your dormitories, in your gymnasiums, in your locker rooms, in your sports arenas, in your seminaries, in your youth groups, in your movie theater bathrooms, in your army bunkhouses, in your truck stops, in your all-male clubs, in your houses of Congress, wherever men are with men together, your sons shall become our minions and do our bidding.
Okay,
they
it sounds like
our minions. They will come to crave and adore us. One more sentence, if you will. If you dare to cry faggot, fairy, queer at us, we will stab you in your cowardly heart and defile your dead, puny bodies. Anybody can get this online. It's the Gay Community News, February 15th to 21, 1987.
Okay, this is awful.
In the congressional record.
I'm sorry that you waited so long, but it sounds like you're burning in hell or something here. I don't know. Here's Santa Cruz.
Well, it's those minions. Those minions were attacking the phone lines.
Here's Santa Cruz, Mike, not to be confused with Mike in Santa Cruz,
don't
the last caller.
Me with any. Corral, I can't believe I'm talking to you. I've listened to you on and off for several years at KGO.
Well, hello.
And you know what's interesting, Mike? It's like it's a shame in some way. Corral is, and I'm going to say this, not trying to be disrespectful. Corral, like, what is wrong with what Corral believes? Corral is the type of gay person or homosexual that how can we find fault with his ideas and what he wants?
I can't.
I mean, you see what I'm saying? And Corral, I don't think that he is the type of gay person. Like when you said a homosexual activist this week, you know, was going to be act. He's not the type of person, I don't believe, that most people who are even calling in are speaking against. Because if anyone's listened to his show, they know that he doesn't want to go out and sodomize everybody's kids. He doesn't want to do those things. He just wants to have equal rights and equal protections that every other citizen in this country has.
Well, I think you bring the conversation of the last 2 hours full circle in so much as, and thank you for the very nice things that sometimes makes me cry, actually.
Don't cry.
I know that sounds ridiculous, but I get letters all the time from gay youth who say, I was going to kill myself, and then I heard you on the radio and realized that it could be okay. Or I get letters from parents who say about their kids, or from middle-of-the-road right-wing Christians who say, I am a Republican right-wing Christian, and I would hate everything you stand for, except guess what? I find myself agreeing with you. And
yes,
every time
most Christians do. And, you know, I hate that you have to attack Christians, Carell. When most Christians are not opposed to you, they are opposed to the Hollywood stereotype.
And I will agree if something never said on the radio before ever again, and I'll probably never say it ever again. I will say that I do, Christianity is one of my pet peeves because of the right wing of it. And it's unfair that I do generalize about it so much because most of my friends, 90% of America, believes in God or in some sort of religion, and they are Christians. Many of my friends go to church.
And the right wing is a small minority.
Right.
A small fanatical minority that is just as damaging as Islam.
I agree.
As the extreme left.
As the extreme Muslim.
Hey, but I
want
to say one last thing before I go because I know you've got lots to talk about. If homosexuality is a sin and sin magnifies the grace of God, need I say any more?
Right. Well, I do think you bring it around full circle in this. And when we talk about a homosexual agenda, there are all types of homosexuals, and they all have their agenda.
And all types of agendas other than homosexuality.
And,
okay,
and,
guys.
And I'm not going to...
Guys, there's only 5 minutes left in the program, and Norman in Brookdale has been waiting a long time, and Rock Hudson once winked at him, so I can't wait to hear this this caller. Norman, you're on the air.
Did he look like Doris Day?
Doris Day is a regular listener to this program.
I love Doris Day.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, Norman, are you there?
Carell, darling, you're such a ball of energy. So pleasurable to chat with you. I listen to your show a lot.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry for the departing of your young doggy. I know how important
that
was.
Thank you. Oh, and I miss him so much.
And I'm so sorry for the deportation of your latest husband. In 1965, I was doing modeling for a studio. We had jock poses. Mm-hmm. And in 1965, the hardcore porn came in, and they put me out of business. I was too shy to take my undies off. But the funny one I want to tell you was, I went to Troy Donahue's party.
Yeah.
The first time, I can't hear you. The first time I went to Hollywood, I went to Troy Donahue's party, and I was trying to make it as an actor. And they asked me, I'm Norman, are you straight or are you gay? And I answered this way. I said, well, I don't think I'm crooked. And then they asked me if I was gay, and I said, well, I think I'm pretty happy.
and it's a great answer.
And, well, I didn't know any better, and from that time on, I got an education. But I want to leave on a high note. Rock Hudson was a beautiful person, and I was a good lead, and he approved of me. But I want to do a little stand-up. I did some stand-up with Buddy Hackett and Jimmy Durante. Well, anyway, I'm going to try to go stand-up now to end it on a good note. I'm here down in Pershing Square in L.A., people were getting molested. So I went down there, Carell, and I hung out there for 2 weeks, you know, and I couldn't get molested.
I said on CNN that I was going to sue the Catholic Church because I was the one altar boy who didn't get molested, and it ruined my self-esteem for life. It didn't go over too well, but, you know, a lot of your callers have brought out the one point that I would like to close on, which is a high note. There's all kinds of agendas. Mine as a gay person is really usurped by mine as an American. I care more about what happens to Americans first, hyphenate second, gay American, black American, Latino American. I care more what happens to the American part. We're at a very dangerous point in America where we keep pointing out the 3% of the things that divide us, like gay marriage, like abortion, like whatever. There are 97% of the things that we all agree on, like want better schools, clean air, a better renewable source of energy. We agree on more than we disagree. Why don't we concentrate on that? Because that's what's going to move us forward. We will always disagree on two or three issues. Let's, you know, put those in the background for a while, and let's concentrate on what we really need to do in this country to be Americans, because it comes with a price, and I don't think we're paying it. I think we're resorting back to a way of life that is very divisionary, and that's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Right. Carell, you are a gem, and I listen to your show up there. And Mike, before I get off, I got to tell you, you're very, very bold tackling this so controversial and very important subject.
It's our job, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I'll send you my check.
All right, thanks,
Thank
Norman.
You so much, Corral.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to second the emotion. We got about 43 seconds left in the program here. Thanks for being a guest. I hope to have you on again sometime. If you're willing to come on, it'd be great.
Sure.
We wish you the absolute best. It's good getting to know you. I will say that this program will be up on our website probably within the next hour, so you'll be able to listen to it on demand. Do plan on at least listening to our live broadcast of the Scotts Valley School Board hearing, the epic
yes.
School Board hearing this Monday at 6 or 7 or whenever it is.
Whenever
just listen. And that's it. Corral, thanks.
Thank you. And just remember, there's more that unites us than divides.
More than unites than divides.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz.
Security reform answered calls for an end to the war in Iraq.
Timetables are the wrong thing to put out. It says to the enemy, go ahead and wait. No, the timetable is this.
Are you there still? Hello? Okay.